Thanks for joining me for season 5 of the We're Not Done Yet podcast. This is Susan Macias, and I'm so glad you're here as we talk about how we can serve the Lord, how we can serve our communities and each other. Because if we're not home yet, we're not done yet. You are in for a treat today on the We're Not Done Yet podcast. I have a special guest, and we are going to talk about the biggest news issue that is going on right now. Today, I am welcoming an old friend and an expert on many things in Israel. His name is Arlie Francis. Arlie, thank you for being here.
Wow, what a treat it is to be with you, Susan. I've been looking forward to the history unfolding according to God's plan, and it's pretty cool.
History unfolding according to God's plan. And I think that that's so important to remember, that we don't need to live in fear. We need to live in hope, that we are at a time where we get the privilege of seeing history unfold.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. So we want to respond biblically. We want to respond in a way that proclaims Jesus. We want to respond in a way that that is not divisive, but that is stands strong on scriptural precepts. And so that can feel, for some people, very challenging.
Well, now, it really
Arlie, yeah, Arlie was our Sunday school teacher and small group leader when we had, I think, 5 kids. I go on how many children we had at the time. So that was a long time ago. That was at least 24 years ago that we started. Isn't that amazing?
It really is. You know, and they're all beautiful kids these days.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's fun. It has just been fun. Besides rooting for the Spurs together and having chili and doing all the things, we've just had a lot of stuff about Jesus, too. Now, Arlie has a ministry called Disciple Daily, and he and his wife, Noemi, began this in, is that 2011?
2011, February.
That's amazing. It's dedicated their lives to making reproductive disciples of Jesus. And I love that, because that's kind of the point. That's what you see in Scripture. He's a generational God, whether it's family generations or whether it's disciple generations, it's to spread and replicate.
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, that's the big mandate. Go make disciples. Evangelism, I believe, is part of that. As we live our lives in front of people, they want to know what's different about us. And if we're not equipped to talk to them about that, then we just kind of leave it right there and nothing happens. But, you know, I think the real issue is educating our young people. And certainly your audience is concerned about that. And so is mine.
Yeah. You know, when I've been thinking about that, I'm going back through Genesis right now, and where you see several times where God says, be fruitful and multiply. And we sometimes just limit that to having children, but that's not what God is saying. He's building his people, and we all need to be fruitful, and we all need to be multiplying. So, okay. And I will do some editing on this, but I'm just going to warn the audience that our internet, well, first of all, we've been having some spiritual warfare just to get this conversation going, and the internet's a little glitchy. So we're going to do our best, but we are not going to lay down in front of the enemy or issues. We are going to persevere and keep going and get this interview down. Okay, Arlie, tell me give me a couple of minute overview from your point of view, someone who's been to Israel many times, what in the idea of what's going on in Israel and Palestine and Gaza in that complicated issue, what are you seeing right now?
Well, first of all, we have to delineate from what we know as the Palestinian people and Hamas. Mm. Hamas is a political, military, terrorist group that in many ways has taken over the narrative. This is not new. There are a number of political Islamic terrorist groups that want to capture the narrative. And in between us, or between Israel and Hamas, are people on both sides, innocent Jews and innocent Palestinians. And so you have to differentiate between those. Unfortunately, when we are coming into the kind of era that we're in right now, Israel has decided that they have had enough of having rockets fired at them, having terrorists infiltrate and commit acts of violence against their people. They've been dealing with this for almost from the beginning. but particularly since the Abraham Accords have come into place, Hamas and the other militants have seen that they are beginning to lose the ear of the rest of the Arab world, and they needed to recapture attention to refocus it on what their objectives are. And they've been very successful at doing that. And that's part of what's going on here. But we do need to differentiate between the Palestinian people as a whole and Hamas and Hezbollah, frankly, to the north as well.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And I think that's very important. And that, for me, what gets frustrating is listening to conversations where there isn't an understanding of Hamas having so infiltrated the Palestinians. There are many Palestinians that don't support Hamas, yet like many dictatorial kind of governments, there's no like pushing out. They can't vote out Hamas and get them off out of control. Hamas is in control of Gaza. Isn't that true?
They are. And this is an unfortunate fact as well, Susan, that I believe it was in 2005, Ariel Sharon made a decision that they were going to unilaterally, or maybe it was Ehud Barak, I can't remember which one, but Israel was going to unilaterally remove itself from the Gaza Strip. And within months, the Palestinian people voted into government authority Hamas. And so many people voted in what they are dealing with. They didn't understand the monster that they were unleashing. And that's just a sad reality of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you feel like you need a strong voice, you vote for a strong leader, but you don't know all that's going to come with that.
That's correct. That's correct. You know, I think the other thing, go ahead.
No, you go.
I think the other thing that we lose sight of is that this is, in fact, a spiritual war. From the very beginning, throughout all of Earth, but particularly in the Garden of Eden, Satan comes to the first couple and said, "Did God really say?" And both the man and the woman ate, deciding they would be like God, and they were cast from the Garden of Eden. None of us have experienced what was in the garden, but I sure would like to. In fact, God says that's possible. But the only way there is through Yeshua or through Jesus. But ever since God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, he will bruise you on the head and you will bruise him on the heel," Satan has been trying to keep what God is going to do through the Jewish people in terms of presenting the Messiah to the entire world. And that didn't just include his first coming, it also includes his second coming. And there is a war that is being unleashed that is demonic. Mm-hmm. I personally believe that Hamas is demonic, and that the things that they have done, we have never seen happen before since the Holocaust. And we have to recognize that.
Yes, it is. It is so brutal. It's not just sending bombs into an area. It was brutal destruction and how to cause as much pain as possible. That the things that you see happening are completely anti-Semitic. I have been shocked, honestly. I have been shocked to see such blatant anti-Semitism in the United States being displayed when it seems like the whole point of society right now is to be inclusive and understanding, and there is nobody is going to speak badly about anyone. And yet the anti-Semitism that is so rampant, those I'm sure you saw the presidents of Harvard and University of Penn and stuff can't just make a statement about what hate speech is.
Yeah.
That genocide is hate speech. I just don't understand what's hard to say about that sentence.
Well, again, we live in such crazy times. You know, Susan, when you and I were growing up, there were three networks and PBS. Mm-hmm. And journalism was really journalism. We'll tell you what happened. I mean, even Even Walter Cronkite, who was a very liberal guy, said, now that's the way it was. And he was accurate in doing that. So we were able to distance ourselves from the noise that is out there. Today, unfortunately, everybody that has a microphone and a camera can be a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And many of them don't really know what they're talking about. But those people that are not biblically rooted in the big narrative of what God is doing, what he has done in the past, how we fit in his story today, what's going to happen in the future, those people that are unrooted from the biblical narrative are looking for anybody to give them insight, and they glom on to what feels right to them. And then they start amplifying that. And all kinds of groups have attached themselves to, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. But now Palestine, in the minds of people at Harvard, in the press, in all kinds of movements, they've adopted Palestinianism as their own narrative. And now it's all of us that must be free. And that's how it's getting amplified in many ways.
So I hear Palestine, you know, from the river to the sea, all of Palestine will be free. And you go, well, yeah, we want all the Palestinians to be free everywhere they are. But that's not what that sentence means.
No.
Explain succinctly what that sentence means.
Well, all the way back in Genesis, God promises that to Abraham, from the river to the sea, all of this will be your inheritance. Now, in the Bible, that river, I believe, is the Euphrates, not the mm-hmm. Jordan. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's a huge territory. And Israel has returned to that land beginning in the late 1800s, when there weren't many people there of any kind, and began to reclaim the land. And then people began to, from the surrounding Arab countries, to return to the land. In Palestinian mind, they believe that everything from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea has been taken away from them. It was their land. They are the indigenous people, and that the Jewish people are the interlopers. And in their mind, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free means there will be no Jewish people there. We are talking about ethnic cleansing, mm-hmm. which has happened repeatedly regarding.
Yeah.
And not just to the Jewish people. I mean, ethnic cleansing has happened in a lot of places.
Sure, it has. And it's horrible. Every time it happens, it is bloody and it is terrible, whether it's in Rwanda or Croatia or anywhere else. It results in so much destruction. We see this now. I was watching an interview with supposedly intelligent people who are going to classes and thinking. And the news guy was asking this woman, well, where are all these Jews supposed to go? Well, they're supposed to go back from where they came. And it's like, but they were born here. They live here. They're supposed to go. And do you feel the same way about the people coming across the border in Texas? Should they all go back to wherever they came from? They should not be here. They are interlopers.
Yeah.
You know, that's a thing that there is a lot of, if you really sit and think through what you're saying and the second and third level effects of what you're saying, and then apply it to everybody, that's not going to work.
Well, you know, we have a friend, his name's Olivier Melnick. He was born in France. He's the son of Holocaust survivors. He came to our property in New Braunfels last weekend to do an entire Saturday a series on what is anti-Semitism, how do you identify it, and more importantly, what can you do in the face of it? And he had an interesting definition that relates to this irrationality that you're talking about right here. He said, anti-Semitism is the satanic and irrational viewing of events that's followed by the actions of people who hate the Jews. Mm. Satanic, but irrational. Mm-hmm. The logic of all of this breaks down when we start applying these things that even we're seeing happening on the television and in the media. The logic breaks down when they start trying to apply these things to what's happening even here. It mm-hmm. just doesn't make sense, and the facts don't matter.
Yeah. And that's always a scary place. So for those of us that are, you know, we're believers, we want to show some support for Israel, but we don't quite know how to think through all these things and what to say. I would love to give listeners some resources of where to go, what to listen to, where are some places you can get facts. Do you have some things to recommend that you feel like are reliable for them to get alternate view than they're going to get from the normal news stations?
Well, first of all, I've been very much involved with an organization called One for Israel.
Yes,
highly. They were involved. They ran a college, Israel College of the Bible. Their public outreach became One for Israel. They have regular podcasts, and you can visit oneforisrael.org, and you can find out lots of information on the ground as to what is going on. And one of the cool things, let me just say this real quick. 8-10 years ago, they could see what was happening in terms of this divide between Jewish believers and Arab believers. And they decided to marry, not figuratively, marry Jewish pastors with Arab pastors to study at One for Israel for 1 year, and then to co-labor together on the other side. Let me tell you, those are voices of reason right now. They're all speaking about what is happening, and they are speaking with one voice. That is a crucial issue that you and crucial information that you get through their website and through their programming that I think is really, really good. I would say, frankly, there are a number of good ministries. I was part of REL Ministries for a number of years. They have a Dr. Fruchtenbaum has recently published a shortened version of his doctoral thesis. And basically the book is, what does the Bible teach about Israel? Okay. And Arnold is very clear about the fact that there are Palestinians who have been born into this mess that at some level have been victims even of what Israel has done, and now victims of those that are the leaders of their own people. And you can't get around that. Israel is not lily white in this. They are not, okay? What they have not done is the kinds of things that we've seen Hamas do. And in fact, even in the midst of this, they have brought people into Israel who needed medical attention and given it to them, Palestinians who were fleeing what was going on. You never hear about that in the news. No. Okay, that's just another issue altogether. And I will tell you that on our website, there is a lot of good information. In fact, if you go to disciplesdaily.org, and up in the menu, you can see Israel. And I've got a little heading that says Chosen People, Chosen Place. And there is lots of really good information right there. You'll be able to find a timeline of Middle Eastern history from Abraham all the way up to October 7th. It's not completely comprehensive, but it will help you understand the flow of history and how it's moved forward. We are publishing what Olivier did at our place last weekend. We've okay. already published a video. It's about an hour long, but it's the history of anti-Semitism from Constantine to today. And that would be a great place for people to kind of understand what's going on, because truthfully, not only is Israel not lily white, neither is institutional Christendom. No. Okay. And so it's important for us to understand what role those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, what role our predecessors and maybe even ourselves have played in part of the thinking that's going on. I talked way too much. That's kind of the way I do things. So
No, that's perfect. I love, those are great resources. I love One for Israel, highly recommend them. And I had not thought of that as a place right now. So I will have links to those on the show notes and on the webpage that will have this blog, that will have this podcast. So that way people can find those resources, your website and the One for Israel, and then our Fruchtenbaum. What's his first name?
Yeah, REL Ministries. His name's Arnold Fruchtenbaum.
Arnold Fruchtenbaum. And so we'll have those things up so that people can find them. And the last thing I'd like to do is really talk to the believers that are more sitting in fear right now than a sense of confidence in God moving. There's just a sense of like, oh no, what's going to happen? Instead of, it's kind of cool. You sort of see, I mean, it's horrible what's happening to human beings, but we see so much of Scripture coming together, whether from whether you have Russia and China and Saudi and some of those things that are going on. You have the return of so many Jewish people that has gone on for so long. And now we have this new spot where there were a lot of things going on before October 7th that kind of were settling peacefully into a nice little peaceful situation that October 7th has just exploded. So to the scared believer, what do you want to say?
Wow. I love that question. You know, there's only two things that are eternal. Actually, three things. Once we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our eternity is assured of where we are going to be. But we're actually eternal beings. We're going to live forever. The question is where, okay? Mm-hmm. So in that respect, although we have a beginning, we've always been in God's eye, okay? But God himself, as the triune Godhead, is eternal, and his word is eternal. And ultimately, the only thing that we can really stand on is what God has said. And unfortunately, in many ways, I wish we did biblical education differently. Mm. You cannot make disciples by looking at the back of the head of the person in front of you in church. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Discipleship begins in the home. And it's not rocket science. You don't have to be a theologian to understand the story. It begins in heaven. Before anything is created here, there's rebellion in heaven. And it's cast out of heaven and breaks out on earth. And then God begins to create. And there's a spiritual war going on in the Garden of Eden that you see. We see this perfect world. But there's this arcing narrative that goes from Genesis to Revelation. And it isn't hard to learn. It takes a little bit of work, but anybody can do it. And I'm talking to ladies, many of whom have taken responsibility for spiritual leadership in their home. I'm sorry that that's happening, not because they're not equipped, but because we've got an upset apple cart as to how things ought to happen. So ladies, pray for your husbands that they will step up to the plate and learn the grand narrative and will teach it to the children one step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
One bite at a time. And if you understand that arcing narrative, I love that visual of that, having just written a novel, I'm all into the story arc happens in every story from the smallest parable to all of Scripture is one giant arcing narrative. Then you realize it's not like this ship has lost the captain and we're just floundering in a storm. We are headed through the narrative. And that gives such a sense of confidence that where we are, whether even if it's in a difficult time, we are in God's time and in his story. And we have the privilege of being in what might be a very climactic moment of the story.
I agree completely. I had a young lady stopped me at church, and we're about to run out of time here, but she was sitting behind me and she tapped me on my shoulder yesterday and said, I visited your Sunday class bus and I'm just overwhelmed by it all. And I said, Mercedes, look, can you do this? Creation, fall, flood, nations. I said, hey, Mercedes, that's 2,000 years of human history. Mm-hmm. If you'll go to our website, I've got 40 hand signs and keywords along with all of the talking points through our downloadable app. And you can do this if you will discipline yourself She's married to a non-believing husband. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you will do this in a year, you will know more than most of the people that are sitting in my class because you want to understand. She says, I don't understand. I'm telling you, Mercedes, it's knowable. And if you know the narrative, you'll understand what has happened, how you fit in the story now, and what's going to happen in the future. And that is good news.
That is such good news. And the more fear you have, I think that's a sign of not knowing the story of Scripture.
Yeah.
That the more you know the word, the more you get in the word, then you see, that God's in control and that this is just part of the story. Yeah. And that B, there's nothing new. This isn't, oh my gosh, what's happening for the first time ever in the world. This is God working like he always has at this incredible tiny little spot. Isn't it amazing? It always amazes me. Part of the many things that I think what this points to of a intentional God is that mm-hmm. this tiny group of people in this tiny little spot of the world ends up having world history and world conflict hinging on the people of Israel. So whether the nation of Israel, the government of Israel has done what it's done correctly, incorrectly, I'm not saying Israel is a godly country or godly people there, but the idea of what God is doing in Israel doesn't even require Israelites. It requires God to work through his people. And so we don't have to be fearful. But we also, I mean, you know, it's like, what do I do? I'm sitting in San Antonio, Texas. What can I do? I can't do anything. I hung an Israeli flag in front of my house just to say, hey, there's a side here that isn't getting told. And I want people to be thinking about it because I don't know what else to do, but we can pray.
Amen. Amen. You know, we lit the menorah, Hanukkah season just quit, you know, and people are going by, well, wait a minute, there's a manger scene in the front yard, but there's a menorah. What's going on that?
What's going on?
Well, they're connected, you know? I think they're those outward expressions of support because Jewish people are fearful right now, okay, everywhere.
They are.
And frankly, so are many Arabs. And mm-hmm. and we have peace. We know the Prince of Peace. And knowing his story and how we fit in it is critically important. And, you know, it's not hard, but it does take a commitment of will to put it here so that it can come out here. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, it moves to our hands and our feet as we actually do things that are reconciliatory.
Yes. And I love the part about that the Lord can help us back off of clumping Palestinians and Israelites as like, those are just two people. It's two groups, right? And so we can think better than that in how we are going about this, but we need to support. I still think we need to be there for God's people and what he's doing in Israel and pray for them to have a godly response. One thing I saw that I thought was pretty cool, because I started praying about it anyway, because I've heard so much about all the movement in many Arab nations of Jesus appearing in dreams and everything. And so I've been praying for Hamas and for the soldiers and for them to have this movement of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can be praying actively for God's truth to be overcoming the evil.
Let me tell one quick.
Okay, perfect.
There's a large messianic movement. It's growing every day. In 1948, there were three believing Jewish families. Today, it's estimated somewhere between 25,000 and 30,000 are Jewish believers in Jesus. Well, you know where they are? Many of them are serving in the military on the front lines, and people are asking questions, and they are being, you know, givers of peace to both Israelis and Arabs that they come in contact with. God has created a people within Israel, both Jews and Arabs, but particularly Messianic believers, Jewish believers, who are having an impact telling the good news right in the midst of this war. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, that's just amazing. Well, Arlie, I could go on talking forever.
Me too.
And I love it. And thank you. And Arlie, we'll be back. We had so many technical issues that we're going to have to reschedule another one, because we do want to talk about, you know, Arlie, how old are you? Tell me your age today.
I will be 70 in February.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
You look so young.
Oh, well, say it again, please. Say it again.
You look so young, Arlie. The idea of what we're not done yet, which the whole point of this podcast is to tell people, get busy. You know, we don't retire from serving Jesus. And so we're going to come back and talk about what God has led you to in this second half of life or wherever, whatever point, you know, the idea that it's not too late to start the ministry that's on your heart. It's not too late to be serving the Lord. And you're a great example of that. So we will have you back for that. But for now, thank you for coming, giving us some great resources, and really being able to have some good conversation about what's going on in Israel. I just tell everybody, go to discipledaily.org. I will have that link, and you can reach out to Arlie there. But get good information from a multitude of resources if you want to have an understanding of what's going on.
You bet. Susan, thank you so much. Thank you.